honest, like, do find our paths. Now see, right, okay. Fancied him as Cedric, right?
As Cedric, yes.
So
but as Edward, no.
Edward, I'm a little bit, but I think, like, comparing him.
Well, that's because,
like,
not of that Edward,
should be comparing
though.
People, but not comparing of, him to, like.
I feel like Rob improved Edward rather than.
Viva. If you're going to speak, can you not make as much noise? I can't edit that out.
Oh my
god. You are baiting around the place.
I really forgot about we were recording. That is so my bad.
You silly bitch.
I was just reorganizing my fucking drawers.
Like, just cleaning. Like, are we doing an episode here or no?
It's not fucking Marie Kondo, like, when you're changing around your house, like... We're here for murder.
Sorry. No, I actually really forgot. The Twilight really threw me. The Twilight stuff
it's
really
okay.
threw me there.
It's my fault for my starting bad. This conversation.
So, hi guys. Hi. You sounded like a cat being mowed down on an intersection. What the fuck was that?
I can't remember what it actually sounds like.
A lot it's more like, pleasing imagine, than that.
You know when you, like, shake your face so that, like, your cheeks do this? I can't do it now because I have headphones on.
Oh, that's the one.
That's the one.
Retake.
Ed, Eddie. As Quiva's little, so we don't get sued, uncopyrighted noises are helping us do. This is installation 2 of the Ed, Eddie series. And this week, we have me telling the tale of Ed Gein. We all know Ed Gein, everyone's favourite little grave robber, and his fancy decorations of his house and himself. Let's dive in! Ed, Eddie! Ed was the inspiration behind a lot of pop culture, obviously more so the horror scene, with Psycho, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and the Silence of the Lambs all taking inspiration from him. From the small folk town of Plainsfield, Ed technically didn't earn the title of serial killer the way people normally tend to, because he didn't kill 3 or more people, and that's like the FBI definition of a serial killer.
Yeah, 3 people or more.
But he did what he did with so much flair that he earned the honorary title of serial killer. Yeah. So he deserves it as much as Gacy, or as we will discuss in 2 weeks' time, Kemper. So to give a little background into Gein, he was born to Augusta Gein, and George Gee was his original name, but it was sort of a whole thing that, like, yeah, Gee bag, I thought the exact
same. Yeah, and then considering what he has is literally a bag of geese at one point, so it's
there was a whole thing with his family where basically... It's really fucking traumatic. His, like, George's whole family just fucking up and drowned on the Mississippi River while they were trying to cross it. And he was, like, 3 years old. And he was the lone survivor. And then he got adopted. And I did not write this down in my notes because I didn't think I was actually going to bring it up. But here we are. I can't remember the last name of the family that adopted him. But they basically, like, they think that he combined Gee and
I-N
from the other name, and that created Gee.
Oh, it's probably from, like, a Steen or a Stein then, do you know what I mean?
Obviously, should have written it down. Decided it wasn't important. Augusta and George had one son first, Henry. He was born in 1902. And Augusta, being the warm, loving, caring, beautiful person that she was, could not have given a continental fuck about Henry. Just didn't care about
him.
She said that she hoped that her next child would be a daughter that she could form in her own image.
Who are you, fucking God? Like, I'm sorry.
Oh my God. We're going to get into Augusta and how fucking wonderful she was as a parent in person.
That's like the number one rule of parenting, is like realizing that your kids are not you.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to have some problems as we go. Be prepared.
I know his story, but I don't know, like, the details, you know what I mean?
Ed was born on August 27th, 1906. Much to the disappointment of Augusta, he had a penis, so no daughters for her, I guess.
Crack out the sad violins.
There was no character in his life story that shaped how it turned out as important as Augusta.
Oh yeah.
Nobody in the world mattered to him as much as she did.
Can I just quickly say something? The way you say Augusta is just fucking hell. Yeah. Like, anytime I hear you say it, it's like Augusta.
Augusta.
Yeah, it's not literally like Augusta. Augusta.
German brain though. That's exactly what's happening.
No, she was of German background, so her name is Augusta.
I'm just gonna laugh at you every single time I hear you say it.
You know what? She doesn't deserve it to be pronounced nicely, though.
She does, Sid.
She really does.
Terrible woman.
Augusta. Yeah, she was a thick-set, nasty, and difficult woman that was closer to Mother Gothel than the warm, loving woman that Ed imagined her to be.
So she was just an out-and-right cow.
Coont.
Coont.
She was, as I said, raised in a strict German household where religion was literally beat into her. And so naturally, Augusta carried on the tradition and would preach to literally anyone that would listen to her about her beliefs. Not least of all, little baby Ed and his brother. But, you know, the brother didn't go on to become a serial killer, so we just don't mention him too much.
Do you ever think they're just like, Ma, would you give it a fucking rest? Like, getting so vexed. Obviously not Ed, because he probably wanted to crawl back up inside her. He's that much of a weirdo.
Oh, no, he definitely did.
But, like the oldest lad especially. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, she had no time for him.
No,
he definitely could not stand her.
I actually think Henry did stand up to her quite a bit and was like, you know, you need to get off your fucking high horse, Ma.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I feel like Ed was not something that Ed really didn't like about him. Was that he was not disrespectful. Can't really disrespect.
That he didn't worship his mother the same way that he did.
He didn't treat her the way Ed thought he should.
Ed's worshipping of his mother causes a lot of problems later on. But alas, back to Augusta.
Augusta.
So, sex in particular was something that Augusta was completely disgusted by. Men and women were turning the world into an open-air whorehouse.
Women.
And that was the downfall of modern society, according to her.
How'd you get your kids, Augusta?
Thank you. But I feel like she was definitely, you know, Leonard's mother in The Big Bang Theory. She's like, "Are we only had coitus for the purposes of recreation."
Yeah.
Like, that was it. Like, she definitely only let George climb on top of her because she wanted
to get pregnant, yeah.
She wanted
to. Any other time, yeah, she would absolutely, I'd say, just cut fucking waffle ball him in the fucking dick, like, whenever he was like,
if he came, like, falling home from the pub and was like, "Hell, will we?" He's like, "Don't fucking look at me.
You're looking particularly rotund today."
Back then, and being the man, it's like, your wife is controlling you. You fucking loser. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That was 100% the case in this situation. Like, George had no say in this family whatsoever. Augusta was like the man, woman and God of this whole relationship.
Patron Saint Augusta.
With a mother like that, and George was a roaring alcoholic, and Augusta and George would regularly beat the living fuck out of each other.
Money's on Augusta. Just saying. She has him fucking rattled.
George was definitely in the ground after each and every one of those fights.
He's probably locked most of the time, so he has no balance.
Oh, 100%. There's not a chance for poor little George.
But with the drinking thing, your pain threshold is a lot higher.
Yeah, so he could take a bait in more.
But he's definitely wobblier. Like,
yeah.
So with parents like that, Ed was just swimming in success soup.
Yeah.
He was
success soup.
Destined for greatness.
Exactly. He later became a humanitarian, and that's the end of my story. That's Ed Gein.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's not what happened.
I love a story with a happy ending. He did become an interior designer, though, so pros and cons.
He did. Technically a style icon to this day. Mm-hmm. So,
like Lady Gaga, who?
Exactly. Lady Gaga, who did the meat dress better? We'll never know.
Spoiler alert. So if that wasn't going to make a childhood magical enough for Ed, he also had some physical disadvantages too. He had a growth over his left eye that caused his eyelid to droop permanently, leading to the highly inventive childhood nickname of Saggy Baggy Eye.
Who gave him that name?
Just the kids. He was relentlessly bullied. The kids would just literally be like, "Ha ha, Saggy Baggy Eye."
Do you know what? A1.
That's the best nickname I ever heard. Saggy Baggy Eye.
I'm actually crying, like, oh my god.
And poor old Ed did not have the wit for a quick comeback. But even if he could, it was probably best that he didn't, because he had a lesion on his tongue that gave him a permanent speech impediment. So he literally would have been like, "Stop it, guys."
Oh my god, relatable. That could have been me.
Between the relentless bullying that he received, kind of rightfully so, because, you know.
Oh, lads.
Like, we won't lie.
We'd probably all have a go as well,
Kids are mean. Of course we would have bullied Saggy Baggy Eye.
Sorry, his life was over the second someone came up with Saggy Baggy Eye. That's it.
Oh, 100%.
Your life is
over.
Yeah.
Over. The vulgar sex talk from his peers and the bullying made Ed believe that Augusta had been completely right with what she was saying the entire time. The outside world was full of evil people, and only with her, under mother's protection, would he be safe.
Oh, it's like, yeah, she wants to, like, morph into a kangaroo and shove him back into her fucking pouch, like, cop out.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
You know, like, chickens, when they're sitting on eggs and they go, like, and then, like, sit down on top of them.
I would just literally, because if I haven't mentioned it already, Augusta was a big bitch. So I'm literally just imagining her, like, picking up her fat rolls and just nesting on little baby.
Oh, my God, like the apron.
Head in amongst the beast.
Oh, Quiva.
Oh, dear. Sorry. God.
That sick. Just smells.
That ew. Might be the most disgusting part of this story, and this is a disgusting story. Speaking of disgusting, entertainment in the Gein household was pretty much what you would expect it to be. The Gein brothers could look forward to an enchanting story time with Augusta, reading them choice passages from the Bible, particularly about the filthiness of women.
Love that.
And also, masturbation lessons. Because the sin of spanking the monkey was better than the dirty, dirty touch of a woman. She full on instructed them how to wank.
No sin is bigger or worse than the other. That's like the whole thing, is that like every sin is a bad sin. That was always
not
the
according
point of Christianity.
To patron so, Saint Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
Why, I know obviously why her logic was, but like obviously, why didn't they fucking use their brains and say that doesn't make sense? If I marry a girl and don't get have sex with her until we're married, then it's fine.
It's called being brainwashed.
Yeah. It's indoctrination, Quiva. You know, why weren't we, like, how old did we get before we went, oh, there's absolutely no way that Noah built an ark.
That house exactly two animals of each type.
Yeah. What did the lions eat, Noah?
That was the worst one.
What did the lions eat?
To be honest, if they would have, like, reenacted Cain and Abel, it would have been a lot more entertaining, to be honest. Do you know what? I was going to say, Shoko would have been the ideal child for her.
Oh, 100%.
They would have been such a power couple.
Because he's trying to wank his way to godliness. It's a running theme. Oh my God.
Did she do demonstrations?
Here's the thing I wonder about. Exactly what I'm about to say. I don't know. But I have strong suspicions that Augusta might have actually
touched. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually demonstrated with her own hands how to do it.
Because I'm not being smart. Ed's not that bright. So if she was to give him like a set of instructions, I guarantee he wouldn't have done it properly. As weird it is. As it is that we're talking about instructing them what to do, I guarantee you, like, that she would have shown
them
what to do.
I don't know, young kids figure that kind of stuff out really young. And like,
yeah, but Ed was really simple.
He had like an IQ of like 60.
Yeah.
Like, not that they, obviously you're going to know like, oh, I'm going to touch my peen. Ooh, that feels nice. Do you know what I mean? Like, not that he wouldn't have figured that.
Yeah, but then he grew up in like a really religious household where like all of this shit was like, don't ever do it. And sex is the worst possible thing you can do. You will
die.
Did
you see the like anti-masturbation like kits that they sell to Christian parents, where it's like literally you paste the child, not paste them, strap them down to basically the shape of a cross so that they can sleep in, that their arms are like spread out like a T and they're strapped down so they can't move their arms. So it's like anti-masturbation. Could have been fucking fake, but I saw that shit.
I would believe it in a heartbeat.
And you know what? You're all creating little baby Ed Geins. So when they turn around and they start serial killing and shit, that's on you. That's on you and your religion. That's all I'm going to say. So, carrying on. In 1937, Ed's father died of weakness, according to Augusta. But it was most likely owing to the fact that he was a roaring alcoholic all of his organs, more so, shut the fuck down.
Yeah.
But it actually seems like poor old George died in really sad circumstances, because he became an invalid first and the whole family just kind of left him there to die and ignored him. So after George passed, Augusta made sure she told everyone that her late husband was swimming in the lake of fire with all the other sinners.
I mean,
so, yeah. What the fuck?
Yes, she clearly had a very loving relationship with him.
But even if you hate someone, like, I wouldn't ever say that about anyone, even if I fucking hated them, like.
Oh, she said it about everyone.
She would have played so well with the Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
They wouldn't have liked her either, though.
The signs that are like, God hates, whatever. Yeah.
They wouldn't have liked her anyways, because she was fucking, what's the word?
Yeah.
So, like, basically teaching her sons how to fucking masturbate is obviously Disgusting.
I mean, we don't know that they're not into some weird shit.
That is true.
Just an idea.
So after their father's death, Henry, Ed's brother, became a little bit more adventurous. And he started working as a foreman for a road construction crew in the 1940s. Ed was working a job that you may consider ill-suited for the socially inept town weirdo. He became the town's most reliable babysitter.
Why?
That is not okay. Why would people hire him? Saggy baggy.
Because apparently he was fantastic with kids.
Yeah, he had the same fucking mental age as them.
I think so. I think that is why. Because he said basically that he didn't feel as uncomfortable around children as he did around adults. Like, they weren't as judgmental of him, so he felt at ease in their presence.
I suppose that makes sense. That there's this pressure. They're not watching you as much.
Exactly. They kind of take you as you are.
But how long before they start calling really him
saggy
baggy?
Kind of like pedo in the fucking brewing kind of vibes, because it's like, I can't hang out with other people because, you know what I mean?
His was more sad, lonely vibes, not Dean vibes.
Oh my god, he was not Dean. But like, I feel like it could have headed that direction. If something else had happened to him, could have been like a catalyst in that sort of a direction, if that makes sense. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It sounds to me, the way it's kind of been presented, that he had the potential. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like that's something you're born with, though. Like, because not everything that happens to some kids, they're going to turn around and diddle other kids. That's another thing. Like,
But like, it is, I feel like it is, like, you're born with the potential. But at the same time, I do think that it's something that can be triggered as well. Like, it can be something that can be innate in you, if that makes sense.
Well, I feel like by his mother teaching him how to do stuff like that to himself as a child, if that didn't trigger, nothing else probably would.
Yeah, if you didn't become a sexual deviant from that experience as a child, you're never going to.
Yeah.
Like, that's for sure. Yeah, the fact that aside from him being like the strange antisocial man who was a little bit too devoted to a woman who showed little to no compassion for him, his mother, Ed was known as a good-natured and trustworthy character.
No.
So he was actually like, he was a weirdo, but he was liked.
So, like, odd, because who ever likes weirdos?
That's the thing. Like, then that kind of shows another side to him. Because it's like, did people feel sorry for him? Because they knew what he was going through at home.
A little bit, yeah. Because he was kind of the town simpleton as well. So they were like, Ed, he's harmless. Like, bless him, he has to... Because everyone fucking hated
Augusta
as well.
Oh god, he has to deal with that one at home.
See, that's the thing. Like, you don't really have a chance when you're raised, like, with someone like that. Like, if you don't end up fucking doing what he did, you end up with a lot of issues that need... that take a long time to resolve, if they're ever resolved.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get to it at the end, but my whole main thing is, like, I feel like Ed just needed therapy. If Ed got saved at a younger age, none of this shit would have happened.
Yeah.
None of it. And I know we say that for a lot of killers, but, like, in this case, it's specifically true. Like, definitely 100% true.
Yeah.
The strangeness of Ed's devotion to Augusta was not lost on Henry either. And it was the only point of friction between the two brothers, as Henry saw Augusta for what she actually was, and Ed saw her as a modern day saint.
She was a raging bitch.
That's Stockholm Syndrome, though. That's like, that's the whole, you know, abuse thing of, like, she probably was so abusive to him, and then, like, the whole love bombing thing, like, maybe, and he was treated nicer than the rest of them, so he felt a bit special, and, you know.
Oh, no, she was god-awful to him. She verbally abused him constantly, told him how useless he was. He was disgusting.
Was she not
he was going to the pits of hell.
The other, like, she hated Henry more, I thought.
She gave him more attention than Henry.
Yeah, that's what
but
I mean.
But she wasn't any nicer to him, you know?
Yeah.
This kind of point of contention may have been the reason for Ed's first mental break and quite possibly his first murder. Mm-hmm. So on May 16th, 1944, Ed ran into Plainfield in a panic, stating that Henry had gone missing after a fire that they had started went out of control. And he said it was too dark for him to search for Henry alone, and he'd come to town to get help. The search party had expected to be on the search for Henry's body throughout the night, but when they got to the clearing, Ed led the party directly to his brother's body.
He's a dumb bastard, like.
So obviously, like,
he definitely fucking killed the brother,
I don't know,
like,
100%. What happened, like, but I know exactly where his dead fucking body is gonna be, like, obviously.
Because when he was asked how he found his brother's body so quickly, Ed simply shrugged and said, "Bloody hell, that works."
It sure is. Pure coincidence,
That's the thing, like, and I know he wasn't intentional on his part, but he's being a little bit of simple. Really worked in his favour, as people didn't take him seriously.
So there's no evidence to actually prove that Ed had murdered Henry, but his body was found on a piece of scorched earth, even though his skin and clothes remained completely intact.
Yeah.
And his head was found to be badly bruised. But as we just said, the townspeople thought Ed was far too harmless to have killed his brother, and the death was deemed accidental.
No, I don't think so.
So, it was exactly that.
Did he say it was accidental? Why would he have bruises on himself?
Oh, he could have just been running around in panic in the dark and hit his head into a tree
and
or
that's
something.
Why the ground underneath was scorched, because that's not where he was originally laying. Do you know, he could have ran and then collapsed.
Yeah.
Because if he was underneath it, there would have been an imprint.
He could have bonked his head and then
I mean, I guess it's plausible, but at the same time, it's there's a much more obvious answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not going to believe that the harmless, scrawny, because apparently he was really skeletal as well. So you're not going to believe that he's ever going to kill anybody.
No.
And again, like I said, that comes into play over and over again. The Gein household now consisted of the only two people that mattered to Ed. Mommy and me. But shortly after Henry's death, Augusta suffered a minor stroke which left her hospitalized and bedridden. And with the thought of almost losing his mother terrifying Ed, he took it as an opportunity to prove his worth to his mother, catering to her every need and barely leaving her bedside, which Augusta appreciated about as much as you would expect, which is to say, not at all.
Yeah. It's your duty. I birthed you. You can look after me.
I hate that kind of stuff because it's nobody asked to be born. You made that decision. Yeah. You are the one who decided to have a child. If you can't, I know obviously some situations people don't decide to have children, but in the case of this lady specifically who hated her husband, definitely planned these kids.
Oh yeah, because she was not the type to just spread her legs and make an accidental baby.
Exactly, she didn't even her husband, so it was definitely the only time, it was definitely...
Yeah, it was a choice.
Yeah, I want to procreate and this is the only way I can, so... Stop acting like your kids are a fucking...
And the worst thing about her is about to happen, but instant karma. So it makes me very happy. We're getting to it. So the experience did very little to humble Augusta. And after checking herself out of the hospital, she returned to the farmhouse as her usual unpleasant judgmental self. And at the end of 1945, after Ed and Augusta had driven to a neighbor's house for straw for their livestock, they had seen a man...
Aww.
They had seen a man beating a puppy to death while his girlfriend screamed for him to stop. Yeah. And Augusta was, of course, horrified, but not by the brutal puppy murder, by the sin of a man and woman living together out of wedlock.
Wrong thing to focus on, Augusta. Very, very wrong thing to focus on.
Would I say, you know what I mean? I would be riding to death if he put a fucking hand like that. I can understand a little smack, a little don't do that and a tap on the nose, whatever, basically.
Yeah, the little taps on the nose or the arse or whatever, just training them, small bits. You're not actually hurting them, you're just giving them, discipline, I guess. That, yeah, sure. No, this man was full-blown beating the dog to death.
I actually don't know what I would do in that situation. I feel like I would just not remember.
No, yeah, you'd...
I would black out and cave his skull in. Fact.
100%.
I know we have a tendency to be more upset about the animals being killed in these stories than the actual people.
It's like kids. But it's like it's an innocent.
Yeah.
It's
an innocent, exactly.
It's not even a kid. It's like it's an actual a baby.
Yeah.
It's like something you can't speak. It can't
It
can't defend itself. It has nowhere to
go. And it's never done anything wrong. Never.
Like it's shit in your carpet.
It's never hurt anyone. It never cheated. It never lied.
The poor thing probably just pissed on the carpet.
There's nothing an animal can do that can,
From the sounds of it, I think he was beating the puppy to death to teach the one a lesson.
That's what it sounds like to me.
It's like she probably opened her mouth, so he bet the puppy to death to be like, well, this is what happens when you wrong
this
me or go against me.
This is what happens when you talk back.
Because again, this is, what did I just say? 45? Women didn't have rights and men had a lot of anger issues because of lead paint. We won't get into that.
What?
Oh yeah, lead paint makes people fucking crazy.
Lead paint?
Well, not lead paint, but lead in general.
It was in everything. It was in everything.
It causes serious brain damage. It causes irrationality. It causes anger. You know, all of the problems that boomers still currently have.
And they stopped putting it in stuff heavily around the 80s and 90s. Do you remember in the 70s there was an absolute abundance of serial killers? Weirdly, everything that or stuff that they used lead in.
Yep.
Multiplied in the 70s, so they were using a fuck ton more, so more brain damage. But once they started eradicating it in the 80s and 90s, it stopped.
Yeah.
A lot less mental problems.
We've had a serious decline in serial killers and crime since they stopped using lead and petrol and paint. And it's even, I could be wrong now, but I think it's Saudi Arabia have only kind of in recent years started to stop using lead in their petrol and stuff, and they're the same. They've seen a decrease in crime. Now I could be wrong about the country, but it's kind of a Middle Eastern country like that.
That is madness. Like, they used to, like, lead paint was on toys, was on crib bars, was on...
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I knew it was, like, everyone knows lead is fucking dangerous, but I didn't think it was, like...
Oh, no.
It could create...
Yeah. It literally caused severe anger issues and problems with, like, rational
thinking. Explains everything.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't it? Doesn't it?
100%.
That explains so much.
But alas, Augusta was not upset by the puppy murder. She was upset by a man and a woman living together out of wedlock and how much of a horrible sin that was. And that boiled her blood for over a week. She spouted her fucking rage about it for over a week until the blood boiled her brain and the bitch dropped dead of her second stroke at the age of 67.
Some would call it karmic justice.
I would. I would call it karmic justice. I was not sad. And yeah, neither were the townspeople.
Do you know what it was?
The only person that was actually upset at Augusta's funeral
was
Ed.
It was the spirit of that puppy coming back and giving that bitch a blood clot straight to the fucking brain.
Oh my God. How great would that be if that was true?
I've now just decided that it's factual. So in future reference, anyone that's writing books about Ed, that's how she passed. Spirit of the puppy, brain aneurysm.
Puppy ghost to the brain. So the only one upset at the funeral was Ed. And he completely fell apart at the funeral, just like completely covered in like tears, snot, couldn't really speak. And when he did eventually get up to speak, he was like, she was just too good. Too good for all this suffering.
She's too much of a cunt. What are you talking about?
She got less than she deserved. Exactly. And that is a fact. And yeah, everyone else was just glad that that bitch was finally out of their hair.
Honestly.
Like, even when Henry and George had died, they got like a nice little obituary in the paper. Whereas Augusta literally just got like, Augusta Geen is dead.
Oh, she deserved.
Yep. Ding dong, the bitch is gone.
She's dead, yeah.
It's hard to know if Augusta's death was the cause of Ed's extreme depravity or just kind of acted as a catalyst for something dark that always lurked under the surface. But either way, her death marked the beginning of the depraved acts that Ed became so famous for. So about a year after his mother's death, Ed began to hear Augusta's voice as he drifted off to sleep. He would have also visual hallucinations, such as like he'd look out and he thought that he saw a tree covered in vultures dripping with blood and like various entrails.
Oh,
there's like
a picture of that in the last podcast book.
Yep, in the last book on the left, they have a fabulous illustration of the vulture tree. It's just gorgeous.
Is there any pictures of it, or is it just like a...
Yeah, I...
Oh, it's not like it was a real thing. It was a hallucination, but like...
In the last podcast on the left on their book, you don't
just
be
the
bitch.
Vulture tree with eyeballs.
Intestine strings and fucking set of eyes.
Yeah, the last podcast released a book called The Last Book on the Left, and they have some fabulous illustrations in it. New York bestseller list for like 4 weeks.
Go buy.
Or New York Times even.
Yeah,
go buy it. Ed began to feel the need to see a woman's body, but not, he claimed, for sexual purposes. He more so said that everything he did as like a science experiment. He just got really curious about it as an anatomical thing.
To me, that's more weird.
That it wasn't sexual?
Yeah, the fact he just wanted to see it, see how bits worked. I don't know, I just find that extremely strange.
It kind of reminds me of, like, the whole kind of taxidermy kind of thing, where people have...
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say it's a normal, but it's a normal thing to be interested in, to see kind of like how stuff... But it's just, he seems to have taken it to like the next level and then it just went.
He was an avid reader, so he read a lot of like older books about people that would exhume bodies and like cut them open for scientific research and stuff like that. And obviously that would have been in like 14th, 15th century kind of times when they really started that. So obviously we don't need it anymore in the 1900s. But he kind of took it as inspiration. And you see, he got a lot of his inspiration for what he did from books. So I think that really kicked it off.
Right. Still weird.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's that whole thing of like when kids have that kind of like potential when they start kind of finding dead animals and having like a weird interest in them. And then they start kind of killing live animals to see if what the difference is. And then it like fucking spirals.
It escalates from there. Yeah.
It's that same kind of like, I don't know. Yeah. It's just, it's an unusual hobby, to say the least.
Yeah. But I think as well, we can largely blame Augusta.
Oh yeah, for sure. Though we're used to it though from being a point of like, it would have been for a sexual purpose instead of like, oh.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. You know, and especially because, you know, the next Ed we're covering has a very different outlook on what he does, so that's probably a big factor in why we find it weird as well. But yeah, I think Augusta was the main problem. Like, she never allowed him to have any sort of curiosity about his own body, never mind anyone else's.
No, he had no freedom at all. Like,
then the curiosity really came out. No, he didn't. God bless him. Since he had no chance of even striking up a conversation with a woman because he was awkward as fuck, and paying for a woman for her services would be a wicked sin, he did the only logical next step. He bopped on down to the graveyard for a spot of body shopping.
It's like, not window shopping.
It's just because, like, that's the thing at the he has no, none of what happened to him helped him. Like, he couldn't talk to girls because he was too fucking awkward because he'd been told his whole life that it was a massive sin. Like, he couldn't go and hire a girl because... that's an even bigger sin.
Massive sin.
And it's like, what does he do?
He didn't really have any friends to even talk about with this stuff with, because any friend he tried to make, Augusta would be like, no, sinful, terrible child, get rid of them. And Ed would be like, no problem, ma'am, not a problem, I'll get rid of them immediately, no more friends for me.
But even if she didn't, like, he would have, or they would have ran away so quick, going off to Ed's house and having to deal with his crazy man.
Oh, they would have, yeah.
I feel like if Augusta had died before Henry, I feel like he might have had a chance. A small chance that Henry might have been able to be like, listen, this is not okay. Do you know that he might have been able to help him a small bit?
Yeah, if Henry had kind of gotten onto it sooner than when they were in their 30s. By the time they were in their 30s, it was too late to be saying to Ed, like, look, your relationship with Mam is weird. Like,
no, not even that, like, but as in if she had died before Henry.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That,
maybe,
like,
but I still think by that stage, like, the schizophrenia had set in. Yeah. He was already, like... way too late. Too far gone. Like, she died in what, 1945? He was born, so he was 44 when she died.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Too late.
Yeah, it's too late.
It was way too late to save him by that stage. So, yeah, at first he had gone to, again, with the weird relationship with his mother, he had gone to his mother's grave and tried to resurrect her, hoping that will and love would be enough.
Oh my god. He's watched too many Disney movies.
If the tear drips on her, don't know what he was reading.
If the tear drips on her and there's enough emotion behind it.
We seem to be having an awful lot of necromancy lately as well.
I know.
Yeah, it just seems to be a running theme with all these kind of stories.
Shockingly, that failed. So he took the next best thing. Not daring to disturb the grave of his mother, he dug up Eleanor Adams, who was in the grave next to Augusta and had always reminded him of his mother.
Such a compliment to fucking poor Eleanor.
There's an awful lot of, that's Mammy, going on in this story.
So basically every serial killer who kills women because of an ex-girlfriend.
Mammy issues, exactly.
And they're like, this is because my mom was evil. And I'm like, get over yourself.
Yeah, but in Ed's case, it's because his mom was the patron saint of being a cunt, but not in his eyes. He dug up Eleanor's grave, pried open the top half of her coffin, and just slipped her out and brought her home.
Could you imagine the fucking smell?
I know. Because this is the thing. I don't know how long Eleanor was buried.
No.
This is what I was going to ask. Like, how long was Augusta buried when he tried to fucking raise her from the dead?
Well, this was after about a year after is when he started showing the schizophrenic
tendencies. So she could have passed
tendencies.
Anywhere between that. Like, anywhere between or before that.
Any time in that year or before, yeah.
Ew.
There's no, I have no time stamp on when...
she died.
Eleanor died, none at all. So, after successfully robbing Eleanor's grave, he began scanning the obituary notices, specifically looking for middle-aged women, waiting until the night after the funeral to exhume the bodies.
Ew. It's not a Lonely Hearts page. Stop it.
Exactly. It's like scanning through the buy sell swap on Facebook. Or, like,
this one checking my fancy today. Like, no. That's a dead body, Ed.
She's like, middle aged, so I assume anywhere between like 40 to 60 is what he was looking for. The only thing I can say is at least he went the day after they were put in the ground so that it wasn't like a puddle of goo.
But that's taken into the fact that when were they found? Where all of these people were found?
True.
Were they left a long time before they were found? So they could have been goopy. They could have been people soup. Well, not soup, because then he wouldn't have had like a purpose. But like...
he really was taking his chances, wasn't he?
At least the people jerkied. The one they've gone dehydrated.
But then I suppose they are all in the same town. So he might have known that like... Bridget there, she only died there like 2 days ago and now she's, the funeral's over with and blah blah blah. You know what I mean? He might have made sure that he knew when they were being buried then afterwards by the obituaries.
These ones. But did he not go to another graveyard in another town? Because how many people are dropping dead in one town for the amount of bits that he had? Do you know what I mean? He definitely went to a second cemetery, so he wouldn't have known them. He's playing a risky game. He's just playing a very risky game.
Yeah, by all intents and purposes, the majority that he took, he did know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, but when you have a box...
I don't know, like, how many he would have taken from a neighbouring graveyard, you know?
I remember seeing it somewhere. It was probably on last podcast on the left, I think, that mentioned it. But I know he definitely did go to another place to get them because, like, how many people are dropping dead in one tiny town that are all in around their mid-40s to 60s?
He claims that he could sometimes pray away the urges to rob graves, but mostly the urge was just too strong. And to make it all the weirder... the victims' bodies that he would steal were women that he would have known well. The personal relationship Ed had with the victims of his grave robbings and the two women that he would later murder set him even further apart from our usual serial killer, as they typically almost never murder people they know personally.
He's just a fucking weird, you know.
Yeah, he was just a weirdo. There is something about him with the personal connection, because I think he just connected everything to his mother and it was all a ritual and...
That's what made it straight, because there's such a disconnect with every other one that you
see.
It's
more uncomfortable to me.
100%.
It's what we were saying about, again, Dean Corll. We seem to be coming back to this fucking prick again. But when they would talk to the kids that they killed and humanize them.
Yeah.
It's so weird when they humanize their victims. Yeah.
100%.
So the personal connection that he had to his victims may have been what led to a level of guilt when it came to robbing the graves, because he would periodically return pieces that he felt that he had no use for. So he'd drop, like, if he didn't need, I don't know, a jawbone that week, he'd drop that back to the grave.
It's not a fucking customer service desk with a fucking, like, return section. Do I mean, it's a graveyard. You don't bring it back, just don't leave it. Yeah. Bin it, like...
Ed Gein going to the fucking Tesco version of graveyards, like...
Have you got your receipt?
Oh my god. Yeah, no, if he didn't have a use for it, he brought it back. He was like, I just be respectful to this body I just stole.
Oh, how kind.
He eventually stopped taking whole bodies altogether, only taking what he needed at the time. And I apologise in advance for what I'm about to say. For example, if he only needed a head, he would work it back and forth until the spine snapped and it could be ripped free.
See, that to me, I just see it kind of like the head of a sperm and then the tail. So I'm seeing like the actual human head and then the spine. Does that make sense?
You're selling chocolate! Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly that.
It's so disturbing. Like, why doesn't he just cut it off? Why does he have to wiggle the head free?
Because when he wants to return it, it has to be in usable condition.
Can't be breaking the warranty seal on this spine.
Throw a bit of sellotape on it. Never broken.
And I guess he used the same tactic when he would need skin, for example, because he would just flip the body over, slice little ribbons from the back, and then just put it all back again as if he was never there. So I guess out of sight, out of mind in that case.
For sure, like who's going to miss?
What do you mean?
Their back fat? Not me.
He just felt like he needed skin sometimes.
Oh yeah, for his projects. Now... I'm deliberately not mentioning what these are and why he robbed the graves, because I'm going to traumatise you in one go.
We are getting the itinerary. Ed's crafts.
Yeah, just be. You could have been a hit on YouTube. Until we get to the end of the details.
5 minutes crafts with Ed.
Do you know what? It would have been at least more fucking useful than 5 minute crafts actually
I hate
is.
Them so much.
They're so fucking shit.
They cause more hassle for themselves than anyone else.
Are you sick of your hair having static?
Shave it bald.
These are not
Do
solutions.
Do you need a skirt for the weekend? Rip your top apart. Now you have a skirt.
Do you have baggy pants? Now you have a one-shoulder bodycon. Like, no you don't. It looks stupid.
Nobody is using these. No. Nobody. Ed Gein's 5 minute hacks. I'm here for it. Disclaimer, Cesspool does not support anyone taking on what Ed Gein did. We are not telling you to go rob graves.
We prefer if you don't.
Please and thank you. Leave the dead alone.
Just take them off of live victims.
If you're going to skin someone, at least make it fresh.
That's why we could never like be sponsored by like HelloFresh. Like HelloFresh with Ed Gein.
I've completely forgotten where the fuck I was. Back skin. Yeah. That's the one. He had ample supplies for the macabre projects that he would get his inspiration from. Now, as I said, I just cut my own damn self off mid-sentence for this, but... As I said, he was an avid reader and a lot of his inspiration came from reading books. And he read about Ilsa Koch, who was rumored to have everything from lampshades to baskets made from the skin of concentration camp victims.
I knew that
and
bitch's name.
And that is where he got his inspiration from.
I recognised the name. I was like, where the fuck do I know that from? Mm-hmm. I was like, that bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the, you know, if you're going to take inspiration from anyone, I suppose, why not a rumoured war criminal? Who better?
Exactly. And we can probably remove the word rumoured.
Yeah, I mean, most likely. It's just they never actually found any of the skin furniture.
I mean, you'd have that
for
shit,
Ilsa.
Like, well hid.
Oh, got burnt. I wouldn't even have it in the vicinity of life. It would be gone so quick.
We've come here for a skin lamp.
Disclaimer. Cesspool does not have any furniture made from skin.
That people know about.
Until we skin Guiva,
you'll be able to make a whole couch.
We will not take any form of body shaming on this podcast. So shut the fuck up. You do not have enough skin to cover a couch. You imbecile.
How fucking dare you? I absolutely do have enough skin to make a couch. Don't fucking tell me what I can and can't do. You don't know me.
This is weirder than the story. I'm just going to continue.
I'm going to make a skin couch out of myself just to prove you wrong.
Shut the fuck up. My God.
So with Ed, there was no need for rumours. He had it all, and then some. So, Mary Hogan was to be the first of Ed's two living victims. She was a local barmaid that Ed had become a little bit too obsessed with. Do you want to make a wild guess why?
Did she, by any chance, look like Mammy Dearest?
Do you know what? I don't know how ye guessed that, but I'm so proud of the two of ye. You're absolutely spot on.
Give bit of us.
Hula bus. Oh my god.
Did you forget what that meant?
I forgot it existed. Like I said, my brain only has room for two languages and English is the primary, so one has to be replaced at all times. By this point, it had been 8 years after his mother's death and the isolation, schizophrenia and dark arts and crafts had worn down his mind even further.
8 years, come on, get the fuck over it. Like,
he never got over the death of his mother. Even after he was caught and given like statements to the police, if he brought up his mother at all, he would weep uncontrollably.
God's sake, get over it, like, you fucking loser.
You fucking loser.
Like, I'm not expecting you to not care, but, like, move on.
No, he couldn't. She was the love of his life. Like, they had a deeply unhealthy relationship.
Yeah, I don't care. It's too fucking embarrassing. Let me just kill all these people or steal all these bodies or whatever the fuck he did.
Well, the fuck he did was because Mary was similar to Augusta in most ways, except for her being a sinful, lusty woman who had been divorced twice, which, you know,
Scandalous
back then. The duality between Augusta and Mary caused a big conflict for Ed, as part of him was sexually attracted to Mary, and the other half was disgusted by her sin as his mother would have been. On December 8th, 1954, Ed shot Mary with a .32 caliber bullet as she was closing up shop and took her back to the farmhouse and cut the body up. He kept what he wanted and he burned the rest.
I mean, not the way to go when you fancy someone.
I like this girl, let me just kill her and keep bits of her.
Because he knew that his feelings of lust towards Mary were wrong, and she was the exact kind of woman that his mother would have hated. And then because she looked kind of like Augusta, it was sort of like, well, why should sin be allowed to live when my mother, the best thing since sliced pan, the greatest angel that ever walked this earth, is dead?
The lady who told me how to masturbate.
Ew, because then he definitely cracks one out any time, like...
Oh, Lizzie!
When he does it, because he's like, oh, look what Mammy showed me how to do.
That's actually so true. That's definitely what he did. That's disgusting.
Oh, yeah, you would have no way you couldn't. Like, even if he wasn't mentally ill, even if he wasn't, like... No. Like, say Henry. Every time Henry touched his dick, he was probably like, because all he would have thought of is Augusta.
Just sad wanks the whole time.
There's no way he couldn't have.
That's so...
Probably just like wanking with one hand and just punching himself in the fucking face with the other for how much he hates it. Like,
while crying.
Yeah. More so for Quiva with, you know, her get over it is you need to remember that Ed was mentally ill.
Oh yeah, keep on.
Get over it. Fuck him. Like, I've no sympathy for him anymore.
Like, yeah, I feel sorry, but you know what?
Yeah, no, you're not going to be any happier with the rest of the story. I'm sorry, you're just not.
Like, I do feel a bit bad for him in the sense that, like, he didn't have a chance. But at the same time, like, just fuck off as well.
So, although Ed had been one of the last people to see Mary alive, the police didn't consider harmless old Ed Gein as a suspect. Because, coincidentally, four other people had gone missing at the same time that had nothing to do with Ed at all. And so Mary's disappearance was considered to be connected to those.
Yeah, you're not going to think, like, old Simple Hole is, what if abducted her? Because they didn't care.
Exactly.
When, like, the brother was found in less than ideal circumstances and Ed leading him to the body, so they're not going to think some rando in a bar.
Yeah, you're just going to presume that it was connected to the four, and you're just going to, you know, that's it. Like, it's just some weird.
Exactly.
Weird shit happened.
So normally, actually, second episode now where we're not coming for the police. Very happy about. We can't fault them in this case. It's a fair assumption. Ed would even make Mary Hogan jokes when a man named Elmo said to him one day, "If you spent more time courting Mary, she'd be cooking for you right now rather than being missing." To which Ed rolled his eyes and replied, "She's not missing. She's down at the house right now."
But that's what's scary. That's him being like full serious and they're like, "Haha." Or they think like they're
just thought he was making a joke. He was like, "Oh, what are you talking
about?" They thought he was taking the piss. This is the thing. It carries on the theme of this as well, where he doesn't really deny anything. I don't think he ever didn't want to get caught. He wasn't trying to cover up his crime. See?
No, he wasn't.
He literally told people he did it and no one believed him.
Believe the saddest thing ever. Crazies. That's all I'm going to say.
There was even a time where it was like he had a moment of clarity and he was like, "I need to get out of my mother's house." So he spoke with a woman. She was like, you know, I think she was pregnant, living with her husband. They had a really small house, starting a family. And he was like, "Look, my dad's dead. My brother's dead. My mother's dead. I'm knocking around this farmhouse on my own. Do you want to do a house swap?" And they were like,
yes.
Big, massive house. Of course I do. They went up to look at it. All was good. They looked at his kind of like macabre fucking decor. And she made a joke. Was like, "Oh, what's this room? Is that where you keep your shrunken heads?" And he was like, "No, that's in this room over here." And they were like roaring laughing about it. He wasn't lying.
It's just so funny, man. Like, it's not funny. Like, these are real people. But like,
he can always say, "Well, I never lied to anyone."
Yep.
So they can't.
Like, he told the truth from jump. Like, he did not lie.
Yeah.
Once he said, "No, this is where they are." It's not his fault. Nobody listened to him.
Exactly. No one expected that he was actually telling the truth until 3 years later. Mary's head was found preserved in a brown paper bag at Ed's house.
What do you reckon it looked like?
3 years? Like a fucking big raisin.
But if it's preserved, I'm like, well, was it like just positively
pickled? The
way pickled?
He preserved it, from what I... you know the way skin gets tanned?
Yeah.
I think it is like that. So they would have been sort of, the skin would have been kind of taut and tanned and leathery. It would have...
Bog body.
Like a shrunken head.
Yeah.
Bog body vibes.
No, shrunken heads are smaller.
I found no information as to what he actually used to preserve his heads.
He could have been using, I don't know if this worked, so any tanners out there can tell me, but you know that leathering stuff, like the tanning agent?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? Because if he was tanning, if he was living on a farm and he was tanning his own leather and stuff, which is possible.
Yep.
Do you know?
Because he definitely, like, he kind of denied having any ability to hunt, but he definitely did.
He hunted Henry down in them fucking woods.
Well, there's that too. But what he did to Bernice is definitely like hunter skill.
Yeah, 100%. Like, yeah.
I'll get straight into that and then we can discuss further. Bernice Warden was to be Ed's second and last victim. And she died for much the same reason that Mary Hogan did. Bernice looked much like Augusta, but was again a sinful woman in comparison to his saint of a mother.
How do all these women look the same?
No, do you know what that... They're probably like Irish women, do you know, like big boned, do you know what I mean? Like
the same, like they're all the same stature, they all have brown hair type thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
They don't actually look alike, but the same.
No, I would say like facial features, not so much, but yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like body, like a rugby
same
player.
Kind of hairstyle, same body structure.
Lizzie Cumming for Irish women, like.
Am I wrong? Because I am one of them.
You described all three
like
of us.
So it's like, bitch, I'm coming from myself.
My bodybuilder arms and my rugby player legs, like, honest to God, and my childbearing hips. Like, I probably would have been a Gein victim, 100%.
So would I. Like, as you're saying it, like, yeah, would have been dead.
But yeah, so she, like I said, was a sinful woman. And the reason why he thought that was because Bernice had stolen her husband from another woman a few years earlier, which caused the other woman to kill herself. So that's
Bernice.
Fun.
Oh my God.
I know.
I mean, oh my God, sing her name to the tune of Jolene by Dolly Parton.
Bernice. I'm begging of you, please don't steal my man. Absolutely can't leave that in with me fucking crowing.
It's being left in. We have sang on multiple episodes now. Everybody knows we cannot sing. We do not think we can sing.
That's very true.
We're under no illusion.
With this, Bernice had to go. Second time I'm saying this. Sin could not be allowed to live in the image of his mother. So on the morning of November 16th, 1967, Plainfield was completely abandoned for the opening of deer season, and Bernice was managing her hardware store alone. At 8 a.m, Ed arrived saying that he'd seen that they were having an offer on antifreeze. Can I get some antifreeze? And Bernice was like, oh, for fuck's sake, here's Ed. And she was like, cool, here's your antifreeze, get the fuck
You're
out.
Bumbling
Hoping
idiot.
That would be the end of their transaction.
Don't be in here any longer, yeah.
He said then that he was in the rifle for a new... Had a Augusta stroke there. A new market. He was in the market for a new rifle and asked to inspect the Marlin that they had on display behind the counter. So after handing him the Marlin, Bernice turned towards the window to look out and she saw a car parked at the gas station and said, I do not like Chevrolets. And these would be her last words.
Oh, that's so shite. To be a complaint how you don't like Chevys, like.
I do not like Chevrolets. Which also, they may not be like the most reliable of cars, but Chevys are quite nice to look at, I Bernice. Mean, so I don't know what you're getting upset about.
To look at. Hasn't he got a weird thing with the 16th as well? Because mm-hmm. who did he kill previously that was on the 16th? Or was it somebody died belonging to him on the 16th? Because she was the 16th and it was somebody else as well. I'm just after noticing.
Okay. December 8th was Mary.
Mm. He was caught on November 16th.
May 16th, 1944. Fucking spot on, Lizzie.
Catalogue of information. And he was caught on the 16th.
He killed his brother on May 16th in 44.
Repetition. No, November 16th. Yep. He was caught.
Yeah, November 16th, but it's in the point it was...
Oh. Got caught hours after the murder. This is the same November 16th.
Never mind. Wasn't paying that much attention, but look.
It's the same day. Ed took a .22 bullet out of his pocket and loaded it into the rifle. He then killed Bernice with one shot to the head. He brought her home, and it's about to get graphic. This is the only graphic details about one of, like, after the murder that I have, so just bear with me until it's over. He most likely began by removing the head, cutting it off above the shoulders. He then carved out the vagina as well as a chunk of the anus, removing it all as one piece.
My arse just clenched.
Yeah, that's it literally stuck in my throat. I wasn't able to say it.
Do you know when people are like, oh, if you hear about someone getting like a smack to the balls, like you get like the like the twinge. Like, oh my god, like the pain of that. Yeah.
Literally, like, my hoo-ha just sucked up inside itself. It no longer exists. There's like a black vortex where it used to be from hearing that.
It's like, what's that flower thing, Joe? The one that like, that just like zumps in. What's that called? What's the yolk that's open? And then when it eats something, it just goes like, oh. What is it called? A Venus flytrap. There we go.
So he then cut from crotch to sternum and reached in and emptied the body of all the viscera and drained it of blood.
Like, I'm
finally, he cleaned the cavity and wiped away any excess liquid.
Like, imagine putting your hand in that. Like, I hate putting my hand into the sink when I feel like there's stale food in it. So can you imagine putting your hand... No.
Yes! Oh my god!
Don't know what you're pulling out.
No, honestly. And like, this is what I was saying, where this is kind of how you
cut
a
deer.
Cut and skin a deer.
Yeah.
So I can't see how he's like, oh, I couldn't kill anything above a squirrel because blood makes me faint. It's like, does it?
He's a liary bastard.
Oh yeah.
Lying through his teeth, left, right and centre.
Mm-hmm. I think he was lying to himself, but then again...
How are you scared of blood that you do that? Like, do you know, I would never say I'm scared of blood or squeamish because I know I'm not, but like...
Now listen, I'm no psychologist, but he 100% had schizophrenia. What if he had like his mother's person? Do you know the way he started to hear his mother's voice when he was going to sleep?
That he was able to channel
her.
What
if he had like a second personality that took over as his mother? And she was the one killing these women in her image.
No,
that
because
were, like,
he wouldn't remember what had happened if he was her.
Because the next line is, he claimed to remember none of it.
Well, then that is, if he doesn't, remember, if he's saying he doesn't remember it, but if he remembers anything of any sort.
Do you remember the way you were saying, like, it heavily inspired, like, a lot of different films? Norman Bates, did he not dress up as said dead mother and take on her personality and murder guests? So.
Yeah. But did Norman, like, remember when he was the mother, or was he just specifically acting? Do you know what I mean?
That's the thing, yeah. I can't say for sure
if it was just a question.
He really didn't remember it, or... But it couldn't have been, like... It could have been the mother behind him also instructing him to do it, or anything like that. Like,
see, that's the thing, it could have been...
But yet, Norman Bates actually did take his mother's dead corpse back to the hotel as well and dress her up and leave her sit there. So Norman Bates was kind of similar to Ed Gein in ways.
I'd say more similar to the Texas Chainsaw. Texas Chainsaw was just for the gore, like to have the sick bits that you see, like, do you know what I mean? But Norman Bates, it's more closer to home.
Definitely. Yeah, because there was even rumours that he did he pulled a Norman Bates and fucking brought the mother home. But then there's others that say, like, he never would have desecrated his own mother's grave. So there's no proof that he ever did it.
No, by that I'd say...
I personally don't think he ever would have dug up his mother.
Taking home the ones that... like resembled her, do you know what I mean, like the ones that he felt like were similar to her, like he bought them home, so it's probably just an instant of that.
So at 5 p.m. Bernice's son Frank opened the hardware store to find a pool of blood and the only clue needed to find what had happened to his mother: the receipt from the antifreeze still sitting on the counter with Ed's name on it.
Dopey bastard, my god, clean as you go.
Cassette, he didn't really try to cover his tracks,
like obviously he didn't think what he was doing was bad. He clearly didn't care. Or not care. Mm. He wasn't trying to hide it, but... I mean, come on.
I feel like there was a disconnect, but I also have, like, a thing about it where, like I said, I don't think he wanted to do what he was doing. I think he wanted to be stopped. It's hard to know. It's really hard to know. Just hours after, you know, skinning, gutting, and beheading Bernice, Ed was over at his young friend Bob Hill's house. Bob Hill also was like his only friend, and Bob was like a teenager.
Right.
He was like the only person that would ever hang out with him.
I don't know why I feel bad, but I do.
I just, things could have gone so different for Ed. I, like, it may be terrible, but I have terrible sympathy for Ed Gein. I really do. But like, if he had friends and not a psychotic mother or an alcoholic father, he probably would have turned out all right.
Maybe.
But again, yeah, can't say for sure. But alas, he was over at Bob's house having dinner when Bob's brother-in-law just came through the door and was like, "Have ye heard what is happening down at the hardware store?" And Ed, acting like he didn't fucking no clue, was just, "What you mean? What's going on?" And of course, the two of them then were getting awful hyped. They were like, "Ooh, true crime. Come on and we go have a
look."
Would
be us.
So Bob and Ed got into Ed's truck. Oh, it would definitely be us.
Like, let's go see the panic. 100%.
There's no doubt.
Stand by me.
Mark II.
I was actually thinking of Stand By Me.
But yeah, so while they were waiting for the truck to warm up, Officer Dan Chase and Deputy Polk Specs pulled into the driveway. They asked Ed if he would come in with them and just to answer a couple of questions. He got into the back of their like police car. And they just asked him where he had been that day. And they asked him twice. His two stories didn't add up. So then Chase was like, you know.
How do you only get confused one time? Like, he's only told it twice. Can't even remember what he said the last time.
One exact time. Again, not very smart or bright or poor little Ed. God bless him. And it gets worse. Because when Chase called him out on his stories not matching up, he instantly blurted out, "Somebody framed me."
Framed
they hadn't
for what?
Even mentioned Bernice's name yet.
For fuck's sake.
They were like, "Where were you today, Ed?" "I was framed."
For what, like, you fucking idiot? What do you think you were framed for? Stealing bodies?
I just, murder? What? No, I didn't. What? Murder? What?
Pickling people's heads? For sake, Ed. They're like, what?
It's literally like the end of Scooby-Doo, but in this case it's like, and I would have got away with it too if it wasn't for my pesky self.
If it wasn't for my meddling low IQ.
Fucking Ed. Yeah, so the investigation into Ed's house began pretty much immediately. They were like, well, Ed's off to shite, so let's just go check out his house.
This lad's a fucking weirdo.
And now, to traumatise you all, here is what they found. I feel like I need, like, "We Didn't Start the Fire" by Billy Joel, but with everything that was in Ed Gein's house. Human bones, paper baskets.
You sing.
Ashtrays made of skulls.
Me and Cueva do the click and the headbang. And we have it started.
I wish I could, but I can't pick ones that would actually go with the rhythm of the song.
We make our own rhythm.
Because we're not in tune any other time, exactly. So why the fuck would I care now? Just imagine. So they found whole human bones and fragments, a wastebasket made of human skin upholstery on several chairs. Cueva, you were asking what he needed skin for? Chairs, obviously.
Yeah, but
why didn't you think of that? more fool you.
I knew, but I thought he would just take all of it. It just annoyed me how he only took bits.
Patchwork.
No,
and especially the back part. Like, you know how, like, when people die, of, like, on their backs, so that the blood will settle to whichever is closer to the ground. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say they're fresh, like fresh enough bodies, but no, not really, because they're still like a couple of days in the funeral parlor, a couple of days in the coffin, presuming that they do.
Especially in America, like they don't do, I don't think they do funerals as fast as we do. Like in England, it's a week at least, I think. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, so.
Maybe it made for an interesting color. I don't know.
That is true, like some trimmings.
Then some female skulls with the top sawn off. Mm-hmm. Bowls and ashtrays made from skulls.
To be honest, that's kind of
cool. The ashtrays kind of fuck me up. Like the skull, the bowls are kind of cool. Like Fruit Loops are kind of, that's kind of a cool idea.
Would rather, but as an ashtray, so
I
am not.
I'd rather ash into a human skull than
eat.
Yeah, because
the way like a lot of people would like drink the milk after cereal, so you're putting your lips to, like you're having like skull bone getting like flaking off into your teeth, and then you're like, is that a Cheerio? You're like, no, it's a bit of cranium. It's not this.
Yeah, like, is that plaque or bone fragment? Sick. No, the ashtray is definitely less disturbing.
Yeah, I take it back.
I'm glad.
Caoimhe eating her chicken Kievs out of skulls. We knew it. So there was four masks made from women's faces, stuffed with, like, he'd either stuff it with, like, cotton or sawdust or something to make them look more lifelike while they were hung on the wall. And some of them even had the lipstick that was put on them before they were put into the ground still intact on their lips.
Formula, just, though. Yeah. The formula. Like, especially back then, because they wouldn't have had, like, the matte liquid. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah. Like, I know Jeffree Star's liquid lips did not exist in 19...
Like, realistically, Kylie's are so drying that shit's staying on you until forever.
Yeah.
But... for like just the normal,
but then they also have like cream. Ridiculous chemicals in it now, really, like exposed. That they're actually, they were toxic. So I'm not surprised they last.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like the
just
old
for like the normal cream lippy, like I just that's that's a good sting.
Yeah,
you know.
But they also, like, is that they weren't exposed to the air or sweat or
like your mouth wasn't moving
or kissing.
Yeah,
but
true.
The damp that was going
to
be
so
in
there's
the coffin.
Nothing to rub it off with. You're just dead.
Yeah, but the dampness that would have been in the coffin.
True.
So if it rained at all,
set and spray.
They probably powdered, because do you know over it, like they probably put a bit of powder over it.
Yeah, that's actually true. They would have powdered.
Anyway,
it.
Regardless of how they would have said, it's a miracle it fucking stayed on.
We're just like makeup tips with more.
They were dead. Dissembled and then reassembled like the fucking Avengers. Like, it's impressive that it stayed on at all.
Moving on. Vaginas. There was 9 vaginas in a box.
A box. Boxes within a box.
Stop, is that really bad to make a joke like that?
Strike while the iron is fucking hot.
No, we need to. Considering I literally just yelled vaginas, I'm sure they're already shocked enough by that. Never mind the jokes about it. 4 noses. Why, I'm unsure. That one, like, collecting the vaginas and stuff makes a little bit of sense once I get into the next bit, but the noses, I just don't understand.
To be honest, the whole like sexual organ thing makes sense, like the boobs and stuff, I know, but whatever, makes sense in the whole kind of weird sexual side of things. But the nose are just,
man, he might,
unless that's a feature he likes.
It wasn't sexual, Caoimhe.
Yeah,
I know, but it's. But it still could have.
Yeah, he might have just.
It could have just had that kind of a vibe. You know what I mean? Oh. That it was like something that he could have had like a weird fascination with that specific part because it was something he never.
There's. I'm going to get into that in just a sec because I'm saving the best for last.
Because I know what you're saving for last, and my reasoning why he kept all the noses probably makes fucking sense as to why what you're going to say. So,
my guess is that he just likes them.
Ooh, okay. I'm interested to see your perspective when we get to that.
He likes them as like a feature.
He had going on a pair of lips as like just stuck onto a blind drawstring again. Why?
Yeah, see that? I didn't serve a purpose.
Questionable choices here in the decor.
He's kind of going, like, I think he started to have like fun with it, like it's arts and crafts, like kind of like what he can do, was kind of thinking of fun, inventive things he can do.
It's like he was almost a facial feature fluffer.
Yes.
She's like, oh, if we just add this little accent over here, it'll be fabulous, darling.
Exactly.
He also had a lampshade made from the skin of a human face. Now,
how stretchy.
That's a lot of face. Did he keep only the scalp or was it just the face? Unless maybe he turned it sideways and wrapped it around and it was a small lamp.
I feel like it would have been wrapped like this and then maybe some extra skin just to tether it.
Like he could have.
Well, but you think though that like your when you go back to your ears, like it's a good. Like maybe,
I'd say he would have had.
It would. You would be able to stretch it out, yeah. And like you also have the tip of the skull and
I'd
stuff.
I'd say he could have took the whole thing. Sure, by the time like he plucked the hair off it like a chicken.
Like it's that much. Then, like it's a foot.
You book the size of the lamp.
Yeah.
It's a decent.
Yeah, it could have been a small lamp.
Yeah. The whole way around, we'll say, you include like all of this. The ears could have still been attached. I don't know. I didn't look at the
lamp. Did you not see it? It's mad looking.
No. But that's imagining it freaks me out because I'm like, again, I'm at it with another Doctor Who reference, right? But there is a thing in Doctor Who where her name is Cassandra, and any Doctor Who fans will know what I'm on about, but she basically becomes just a fucking sheet of skin with like a face attached to it, and it's the most horrifying thing I've ever seen in my life.
I know what you're on about.
Yeah. Moisturise me.
What?
That's all I imagine. I'll send you a YouTube
moisturise
clip.
Moisturise me.
I've just seen
me when I get out of the shower and I'm fucking dehydrated AF. My skin is like tight.
Yeah. She's horrifying. And that's all I imagine with the lamp, but like eyes closed. I just don't like it. I'm like, if you're going to make a human skin lamp, just make it like skin.
You can tell it's skin, but it's not distasteful looking weirdly. It looks tanned.
So is it still recognisable as a face?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
He was definitely treating them all the same, like, so like he was definitely soaking them in that tanning.
Yeah, like
agent.
There's creases and stuff. Don't get me wrong.
I was
wrong,
expecting
but
you'd still like see a nose and lips and like the eyelashes and stuff.
Oh, you've driven yourself way too fucking mad.
Yeah. I should have just looked at the picture. My imagination is so much worse than what Ed Gein actually did. Fair enough, then. Moving onwards, he had fingernails from female fingers, obviously, because he already had man hands, so why would he take...
Why is that the worst one?
Is it?
Yeah, kind of. Who thinks of fingernails?
Just get a pair of falsies, like, come on.
Like, fingernails, like...
Yeah.
Pulling them off, and there'd be all the fucking bits of skin underneath. Ugh, fuck off.
You're absolutely no one to speak about weird things that you've put on said fingers. Because remember when we were in Germany and you put the shell and the heads of the prawns on your fingertips and we're modelling a bottle of soy sauce, which is going up on the Instagram so people can see how much of a scruff you are.
It's already up there. I've seen it.
No comment.
I'm not saying that he was putting them on is weird. I'm saying what? Well, I am saying that. I'm just saying that...
But you think him pulling fingernails off of a corpse is weirder than cutting the entire vagina out of it?
I think it's just because it's so much more pointless. I know that sounds so stupid, but it's like the face thing
and
has like it's their face
cutting out of a vagina that he's absolutely no room for.
I think he had a weird obsession with that kind of a thing because he'd never experienced one in real life. I think that's where he was coming from with that. I know it doesn't really make sense, but that's what I think. Is that
I think he might have been making like a nice little like puka shell necklace, but with fingernails.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
And he was a crafty.
Oh my
bitch.
God.
He may not have been
if
wearing
it
them.
It would have
like
been the vaginas. Puka poon. Opportunity missed.
Puka poon. Plus, no. Shut the fuck up. Next, we find Mary Hogan's head in a paper bag. Bernice Warden's head in a burlap sack stuffed between two mattresses. And apparently he'd been trying something different with Bernice's head and he had two nails, like one in each of the ear cavities and then like a string connecting them so that he could hang it up like a little jack-o'-lantern.
I mean...
Cute.
Vibe? Because under the mattress, what you're using it as a fucking pillow proper, like, so you don't have a bad back when you wake up in the morning. But I suppose, like, it hanging it up serves as decoration.
That's what I mean. Some of his things have a point.
But the fingernails, Cueva, had more of a point than the vaginas.
He did, like, everything he did, he made use of it.
It's just the fingernails. I can't see what the point is. That's where I'm coming from. I'm like, what's the point?
Just stick them on his fucking hand.
Like I said, it could have been, like, even edging for his face mask. Face lamp.
Okay, when you say it edging, you know? I was like,
you immediately went to like masturbation creeper.
Are you being sinful and lusty?
I was watching the Joe Santagato's podcast on YouTube the last day, and there was this girl, and I won't go into it now because it's too long, but anyways, that's what it was in my head, that's why.
And next we have what triggered rumours of cannibalism, though they were most likely untrue, was Bernice Worden's heart in a plastic bag in front of Ed's stove.
Ah, no, that was just a dumping place, I'd say.
That was, yeah, it was just where he put it. Like, it's same, that Bernice's head had no business being between the two mattresses. It was just where he put it.
Yeah, he was just looking for, like, stuff was just left in places.
Yeah.
I don't think there was any...
an intent with it.
I don't think that was ever an intention of his. It was never something that interested him, I don't think.
Yeah, like... his thing was arts and crafts, not cannibalism. Yeah.
Not his culinary skills.
Oh, God.
He was creative, not hungry. Not to mention, he had a beautiful bedpost decorated with skulls mounted on either side. So, a lot of skull art.
To be honest, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
As I say, as I'm looking at my gold glittering skulls that I put makeup brushes in. That's also quite hefty.
Okay.
May or may not be the skull of your enemies.
Exactly.
But there was a set of items found in Ed Gein's home that I haven't mentioned yet. And that is arguably what he's most famous for. So in the early 50s, Ed had become obsessed with the story of Christine Jorgensen, the first widely known male-to-female gender reassignment surgery recipient and one of the earliest activists for trans communities. According to a psychiatrist, years later, since Ed was a young boy, he had always wanted to know what it felt like to be a girl. And since he had the skin of over a dozen women at his disposal, he figured he'd give it a shot. Mm-hmm. So he made leggings from his victim's skin, a vest from a woman's torso, breasts and all included, that he strapped around his neck and waist, and skin gloves. He would also sometimes wear the human masks to complete the ensemble, and even occasionally wore parts of his human suits to go grave robbing or just around the house, finishing strong with a little music on his human skin drum with a jawbone mallet. He also had a belt made of nipples.
El Nippleopolis.
Every time I hear that, I wonder, is it just the nip part? Like, as in the part that you would get pierced? Or is it, like, the
surroundings? No, it's the surroundings? So you have...
like, the areola. Yeah, I think the areola would have to be involved.
Okay. No, I was wondering, was it just the, as you said, a puka shell necklace.
Oh, no, like, it's not just the midget gem. The
areola belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was like, is it just the little...
the midget gem.
It's the whole thing.
Yeah, no, it's a full-on pepperoni pizza. So, yeah, he had basically a full-on woman suit. So, Queevy, you remembered last time we talked about this, you said you didn't think that Ed was trans? Are you sure?
Yeah, I don't think he was... I think it was more like he was trying to do the same thing as your man of... what was it in Bates? That he was just taking on her persona. As in, he was trying to, like...
no, but
recreate her. I don't think it was...
as a child, he always wanted to feel like what it was like to be his girl. And he was the child that his mother wanted to be a girl. So she used to put him in dresses and everything, and he really liked it.
Yeah, because she wanted him to like it. He was obsessed with her.
But he actually enjoyed it.
But I'm pretty sure that would have had an effect on him to want to become a girl then. Yeah, he loved it.
Like, apart from the brother, he wasn't going around and stealing men.
But you can't like be turned into a trans person, like, unless he was born with the want, like,
this is what
just
we're
being
saying.
Dressed up.
That's what I'm saying. It was entirely his mother's fault, but it was like he wasn't able to express that properly, especially in...
he had it in him from a young
to
age
to want to do it,
yeah,
but obviously couldn't, given like his circumstances. Sure, if he's taking the nails off, he's not just taking them off for nothing. I'm making skin gloves and having like whole boobs and stuff and like whole faces.
Yeah, like that's the thing, he's replacing even his own hands with, like, in his mind,
dainty
women's
fingers.
Hands.
Yeah.
So it's like every little piece of him. And now, I didn't find it, but... now, Lizzie, you might be able to tell me, am I right if I remember this correctly? Because I didn't find it in my search for research, because it is kind of a weird detail. Did he or did he not occasionally wear the vagines?
All I remember is he had them in a box and he painted one of them silver. He had one of them painted silver and the rest of them were like left normal. So unless that was like his favourite one. Like, he could have tried to wear them out of your car.
I don't know. It's this thing, I couldn't find it again, but I don't know if it was a podcast or a true crime documentary, something. I saw, I'm almost certain I heard it somewhere that he had a way of wearing it, unless it was like somebody else, but I don't think it was somebody else other than Ed Gein. But I think he had a way of wearing it so that he could literally live the fantasy of being a woman.
I feel like, I feel like you could be right, but my only thing is I remembered. The only thing I remember about that is like in the box, and then there was just the one that was kept after a lot better, and it was
the silver cooch.
Yeah, it was painted silver.
Yeah, like I can't confirm that piece of information. I'm almost certain I heard it somewhere. I didn't have time to go digging through the fucking internet to try and find it again. But yeah, it's something I'll look into, and I'll maybe put it in the footnotes whether it's true or not. I'll see if I can find it. But yeah, so I firmly believe that Ed wanted to be a girl from a young age.
That's fair enough.
And that's why he started to wear the woman suit. Because everything else was for decoration. He didn't need to do what he did. So it wasn't just simply about becoming somebody else. It was changing
genders. And I know it was like from an anatomical sense, like...
Yeah.
Do you remember we were mentioning at the start, like he wanted to see like in the ways that it works, but then you'd know that after one, you don't have to keep going and digging them and just taking specific bits.
It would explain the fascination that I was talking about with the different things. And as well, like the nose as well is something that is very distinctive as like between men and women. I feel like it's very... Do you know what I mean? It could have been...
Yeah, that is true.
And my thing with that was as well, like, like he had four of them, and why, like, if he was, like, built, like, because he was making a suit. He was making a whole, like, woman suit. So taking the daintiest noses that you could find and then seeing which one suited the face better.
Yeah, and he had quite a big nose as well. Like, do you know? I don't know. Yeah, like, it just would make sense with what you're saying. Because, you know. And the fingernails as well.
Yeah, that's what I said,
See, that gives the fingernails a point, so then I'm like,
Gotta have the long nails. Yeah, so that's why I said wait on a bit till I got to this part about the skin suit. But yeah, so Ed didn't deny the grave robbings and even said that if the neighbours had just paid a little bit more attention to his life, they could have stopped him. And he did at first try to deny remembering the murders. And then when it came to Bernice, he tried to play Bernice's murder off as an accident, claiming that he misfired the rifle.
Why are you shooting in
a
shop?
And
stop it now, Ed.
It was never... I don't think he even, like...
Fully believed that as he was saying it.
Satisfied with his own bullshit while he was saying it. Yeah. So eventually he was just like, you know what? No, I did it. It didn't last long. He stopped denying it. He admitted to everything. It was me. But... with the defense of insanity. So he was officially diagnosed as schizophrenic and deemed unfit to stand trial. And according to the state, he was suffering from mental disease at the time of the crimes and therefore lacked the capacity to conform his conduct to the requirements of the law. He was instead sentenced to a mental institution where he lived happily as a model prisoner right up until his death in 1984 at the age of 78.
He had a grand long fucking life, didn't he?
And that is Ed Gein. He really did. He lived a really long time, considering, like...
He would have been alive in prison and he would have, like, died much younger if that's where he was sent. But I do actually feel like that
was
right place for him.
He was so happy when he went to that institution.
He was getting actual help.
Yeah.
All he needed was help. He was never violent. He never, like, hurt anyone. He got the help he needed. I'm sure the voices would have gone away. The visions would have gone away. The urges to rob the graves would have gone away. So this is what I said at the kind of beginning, where I feel I am of the opinion. I could be very fucking wrong because I'm no expert. But I don't think Ed wanted to do anything that he did. I just don't think he had a choice.
Like, I'd say it was obviously a lot of, like, the mental illness in play with it, like, of course, but at the same time, like, I do think he did want to do it at the same, like, couldn't help it but still wanted to do it. Like, I do feel like it was a mix of both. 100%.
Yeah,
Because then he could have just signed himself in, because obviously he was a fucking aware of it. And then if he had the oak to be like, okay, I don't want to do this, but I have to. Surely, like, he didn't have any issue telling people, oh yeah, well, that one's up in the house. Oh, my skulls are in this room. So he'd no problem doing that. So if he'd no problem doing that, why couldn't he tell somebody that would be able to stop him from doing it if it's truly what he didn't want to do?
Well, again, we don't know what the voices were saying to him, like his mother's voice. So it could have been a case of that is like, you can't turn yourself in. That's, you know, I know you'll be seen as sinful. You won't get into heaven. Or like, again, I don't fucking know. But from what his mother was like, that could have been something that she would say to him, kind of thing. Or like, you need to, you're doing God's work. So you need to keep going. You can't turn yourself in or else you won't be able to do God's work anymore. Or I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I'm no fucking expert. I just think I have too much of a special place in my heart for Ed Gein. I'm just trying to make excuses for him. That's probably most like it.
Like, I know, I was just going to say, like, obviously when he got to the place, and he, I know there would have been like an on-site grave trouble, so like he would have had a place to do it, so obviously he didn't, but obviously what he was doing was at the very end of his spiral. So like, that was like his major cracking point.
Yeah.
But I still...
Yeah.
Don't think that... I don't know.
And again, it's
wasn't
like...
fully complacent in it. Like.
There was 3 years between Mary and Bernice, and that's...
That's a lot.
That's a very long time for a killer who kills because they like killing, you know?
Yeah, it seems like things might have escalated for him, like, by accident. You know, that kind of way, like, it might have been an intention that it just kind of went from him, and it was too much, and it was too...
Because he did, like... completely isolate himself after his mother died. He more or less locked himself up in the house, and he kept shrines to her. Like, he closed off certain parts of the house that she would have used most, like her bedroom, say, like her special chair in the living room kind of thing, and he just preserved it completely. So like, after his mother died, and like the longer he couldn't, it's almost like he really wanted to bring her back, and that's why he was doing it, and then he couldn't bring her back, and that drove him more insane and stuff like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So he just, there was a lot that was just chipping away, not that slowly, actually, at his mental state.
My point is, like, it was still an active choice that he decided to make. Like, he wasn't just going into it completely fucking blind, and I don't think it's a, we can, well, I can't fully say that he's,
oh, no,
you know what I mean?
No.
He wasn't fully complacent and didn't have a full clue of what he was doing. Like, he didn't have a fucking clue.
I think more so, the grave robbing, I think he had the urge, and he could have really stopped himself there, but like, he wanted to do it. But the murder, I feel like that was more like he got so overwhelmed by his own thoughts and stuff that he had to, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, there's some things he could have avoided.
That's what I mean. Like, it's not fully one or the other. Like, it's smack in the middle.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, you can't explain away everything he did just by mental illness alone, because there's plenty of schizophrenic people out there that aren't violent and don't go robbing graves and making titty vests and
nipple belts and
silver vaginas.
Like, realistically, most of them are harmless, because if not, a lot of people are schizophrenic, a lot of people have like multiple personality, or they have DID rather,
or
do you know, like
bipolar, any sort of,
you know, BPD and shit like that, you know what I mean? There's plenty of stuff that, like, it's not an excuse. Like, it can explain some of the things he did, and it can explain why he wasn't able to really handle himself as well as he should have, but there's a
it's definitely a combination of sort of nature, nurture, and mental illness in this case. It's a lethal cocktail that led him to where he got. Like, I really do feel if Augusta wasn't his mother, and he had kind of been
given help,
saved at a younger age, and explained what, this is what you're feeling, you might want to actually be a woman, and that's okay. And obviously that's not something that would have happened in the 60s or 40s, but which is quite sad. But alas, he is still a killer, and I can't give him too much sympathy, because he did murder two innocent women, so and rob a lot of graves. So even I can't excuse that much too far. So I hope we had a little bit of fun.
We did.
This week with Ed Gein, because he is fun. He's a fun fucking one to talk about. We haven't quite decided what we're going to be doing for next week, but what we do plan on doing is surprising Cuiva. We're going to ambush her with a story and force her to react to it blind. So hopefully that'll be fun because we're going to try and pick a fun story not to do with murder. That is the main challenge. We're not good at that.
I don't trust myself. I aim to traumatise the masses.
But we can traumatise without murder. Can we? Oh no, there was still murder with Mithgalena's fault, wasn't there? But yeah, so we'll be back for that. We're going to fuck with Cuiva's head for an entire week and bother her about it until she gets to find out what it is. And the week after that, we will be wrapping up our Ed, Ed and Eddie series with Cuiva and the wonderful mother-loving Ed Kemper.
I was going to say mother-loving neck-fucking Ed Kemper, but look. Opportunity is missed.
Stick with us for the next 2 weeks and then we'll figure out what the fuck we're doing after that. Other than that, I think we've rambled on for long enough, so I would like to remind you to always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our cult.
The schizophrenia.